ask you now to meet with us in the scriptures. Speak, Lord. Your people listen. Speak with clarity. Speak succinctly. We want to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. By the way of review, then you might remember that what we're doing here is looking at what the Bible has to say about who we are, right? And so today, our subject is, you are a letter from Christ, right? You are a letter from Christ. We have interrogated the Bible about this question, and you might remember then that we've learned that the Bible has said that you are salt, you're light, you're clean, you're branches, you're friends, you're building, and you are a body of Christ. Remember that? We have seen that as salt and light, Christians then preserve and they reveal. We've seen a couple of weeks ago that as Christians are clean branches and friends of Christ, then we are confident as we go forth and bear fruit for him. Last week, we looked at the fact that Christians are, number one, God's building, right? You remember that? And as God's building, this is the place where God meets with us, where his spirit meets with us, right? So as his building, we are holy and we're ready to serve. Now, here's the thing. We need to be both. You see, God didn't just call us to worship. He called us to worship and what? Serve. To love him and to what? Love our neighbor. You get it? And so, as his building, we are holy and we're ready to serve. Now, the same is true of his body. As his body, we worship God, but as his body, we know we also have to serve him, right? But the Bible is clear. We cannot just serve God mechanically. Or simply systematically without our heart being engaged. So the Bible clearly says that if you are serving God without love, it is vanity, yeah. Right? It is nothing. So we saw then that as God's body, he wants us to function together, what? In love. There's no insignificant person. There's no highly exalted person. We all have different roles and functions, but everyone that God calls to himself, everyone that Jesus saves, is saved with purpose. Isn't that good? No accidents, none in the kingdom of God. Thank God. Amen. And so we've seen as we worked the past few weeks that when you trace the you are's through the Bible, that's what we see. You are salt, you are light, you're clean, you're branches. You're friends of Christ. You're building, right? You're a body. Today, we're going to see the Bible says to us that we are a letter. A letter. A letter from Christ. So I want to tie our thoughts, or if you will, organize our thoughts around these two big ideas. I want to show you from these three verses that there was a letter of recommendation requested. And then there was a letter of recommendation delivered, okay? Those two ideas will help us, hopefully, see the truths about these believers at Corinth and the truths about ourselves. Because not only were the believers at Corinth a letter from Christ, you and I are likewise a letter from Christ, okay? So let's dive in and see if we can unpack this together. In verse 1, you can see then that there was a need, right? There was a need for letters of recommendation. You got verse 1? Paul says, are we beginning to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You see? So Paul is facing criticism because he came to Corinth now And he didn't have letters of recommendation. Who is recommending you, Paul? You see? There needs to be a higher authority in this church structure that has recommended you to us. And these are his critics now, as you might remember, that they are false apostles and false believers in this church, just as they are. And we don't presume that every member of a church is true. Yes? Now, I pray to God that that's not you. But it's naive presumption that everyone that joins a church is a Christian. And I'll get to this in a minute. That's the reason you need to be sure. You can't be sure about someone else's salvation, but you need to be sure about your own. Yes? And so Paul faced criticisms from those who were demanding letters of recommendation from him. Now, this was typical. If you think of it, you're showing up at a church that where no one knows you, and you're saying that you're there representing God, those members want to have some confidence that you're coming with the recommendation of those who know Christ, okay? And so Paul himself had done it. He did it for Phoebe in Romans 16. He sent a letter of recommendation for her, with her. He did it for Timothy in 1 Corinthians 16, 10 and 11. He did it for Timothy and Epaphroditus as well in Philippians 2, 19 through 24. So this was not an anomaly. This wasn't unusual. This was usual for strangers. You get it? But Paul was not a stranger. Paul was the founder of this church. He was the one, by the grace of God, took the mission to bring the gospel. They wouldn't even be a church had it not been for Paul having the grace and courage to come there and bring the gospel, you see? So he wasn't a stranger. He was the well-known founding apostle there, the well-known founding leader in this church. So you see the dilemma. For them to presume that someone else can recommend him, was so hurtful. But the point is, none of us should be surprised when people that know you act like they don't. People that should know better believe things about you that shock even you. Right? These are the ebbs and flows in the Christian life. And so Paul wasn't set back by this. This is just a reality. Here he is coming to the church that knows him well, and they are demanding somebody else recommend him to them. You get it? So that's the point that I'm making here with the letters of recommendation being requested. Now, Paul's answer, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. Paul's answer was, you are my recommendation. You see it? You want me to bring recommendation? Here it is. Look at yourselves. You get it? So the Christian believers are the letters of recommendation. You see? I want to unpack that for you a little bit. You see verse 2? He says, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our heart, or as I told you before, that can be translated your heart, to be known and read by all. You got it? So these believers knew Paul well. They knew him. They knew the grace. They knew that he was a faithful minister of the gospel. And so he's saying to them that you are my letter of recommendation, right? Their lives, now this is really important. Their lives had been significantly changed, right? Their lives had been changed inwardly. This is not surface level change. There are many groups that can change your behavior. And I'm not being crass and critical here, but I mean AA, and I mean you can just go right down the list. There are a lot of groups that can get together and what? Change your behavior. But they're changing what's happening on the outside. God doesn't work that way. God starts where? On the inside. Yeah. Yeah, God starts on the inside, and it works its way out. See, the outside doesn't, it doesn't all get worked out right away. But when it's right on the inside, it will eventually work its way out. And every Christian in here understands that. Because God, for all of us, God is still peeling away what? The onion. Still peeling away layers. And you sometimes it surprises you, right, to see that I still have a problem with this or a problem with that. But once God shows me, I want to do something about it. Because I've been changed what? On the inside. You get that? And so their lives had been inwardly, and I say permanently changed. That's what the Bible calls being what? Born again. Yeah. You see, born again has become a slogan. But no, my brother, my sister. When you've been born again, you are new. You know, you've heard me say this before, and just keep this in mind. The first time you were born by your mother, yeah? And everybody in here has had a first time. Everyone in here was born by your mother. But the second time, you get born by who? Your father. There's only believers get born by their father. You see? Everybody in here has one birthday, the day you were naturally brought into the world. But a believer has what? Two birthdays. You got the day you were born the first time, and the day you were what? Born again. Now, you may not know that day. That's okay. People get all disturbed because they don't know the exact day. That's okay. You need to be like the blind man to say, I don't know all that. All I know is I was what? I was blind. What? Now I see. You see? So you don't have to get overly concerned because you don't know the date. And neither do you need to minimize it if you do. Thank God that you know the date. But just make sure that you have been what? Born again. Right? And Paul is saying here that this change has happened in your life, and it's for the glory of God, so that when people look at your lives, that's what he means, to be read by all. And my brother, my sister, this is what I'm getting at with all of this. Every one of us is a living letter for God every day. People read you every day. And this is the sad part. They've read you for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years, and then they find out you're a Christian. Something's wrong with that picture. It took 3 years, and then they were shocked to find it out because, your behavior was like you've only been born one time. When you've been born again, it's supposed to be what? A change. Yes? No perfection, nothing. We're not talking about that. But just as you know when a baby has been born the first time, you also know when you've been what? Born again. Yes, you do. It should be just as obvious. Yes? And so just as that, and I'm giving too many analogies here, but that baby that's been born the first time has a lot of growing to do. That's not the issue, but they've been born. This baby over here that's been born again has a what? A lot of growing to do, but they've been what? Born again. Yes? New life. New life is there. Their radically changed lives were more convincing than any piece of paper or any parchment, you see? Their radically changed lives were more significant than Paul bringing a piece of parchment, a paper, with his credentials on it. He's saying, you are my credentials. It really doesn't matter what other folks say about me. You are the proof. You get it? Now, my brother and sister, this is really important. This is the reason that we want to have a good testimony. Because people are reading you every day. You see, it's one thing, they listen to what you say, But they're seeing if what? What you say matches what you do. Yes? And all of us know that situation, even before you came to Christ. And I told you the kind of heathen I was before I came to Christ. I was playing in a, quote, Christian group who's playing with me in parties on Saturdays and playing in churches on Sundays. Now, I'm a heathen. I know something wrong with that, but it was money. See, I was in it for one reason, money. But even the heathen can see a hypocrite. Yes? I mean, from the streets? Can't you? I mean, it's amazing when you're from the streets to see somebody think they're slicker than you. I see you coming. But I didn't lose my mind when I got saved. Yes? I've got the mind of Christ, and I still can see you when you're slick. And so my point is, people are looking at us. And they know when something, there's a disconnect going on here. What you say and how you live don't connect. See, you are a letter from Christ. People are reading you. You get the point? And I'm going to try to pull this all together here in a minute. But, so that's, it's important. Now, I thought of this. You know that resumes and letters of recommendation are pretty normal in the world of employment, right? Most of us know that. But the thing about it is that the letter, if somebody writes a letter of recommendation for you, it directly reflects, has a reflection on what? On the person that's doing the recommending and the person that's being what? Recommended. True? So that if a person is going to write a recommendation on you, they want to know something about you. And they want to know that what I'm saying is what? True, because if not, what? It's going to reflect on me. Now, that's also true in the kingdom of God. When you are supposed to be a letter from Christ, when you are a letter of recommendation from Christ, it has a reflection on what? On him and on those who say that you've come to Christ. Yeah. It has a reflection on you as well. So keep this in mind when you think about a letter of recommendation being requested. Because basically, though people don't say it to you, when people find out that you're a Christian, they're looking for some proof. That's what I'm saying to you. And it's not how many Bible verses you know. See, it's not how many principles you know. Those, I'm not minimizing that. But they're looking, what they're reading more than all of that is your life. You could have a wonderful car parked out here on the lot. People drive by, and you got it sitting right here at the corner, it says what? For sale. And people, now it's a naive person that puts a dirty, ugly-looking car out there with a for sale sign on it. Because if you want to sell the vehicle, what do you want? You want it to really look good. But you're naive if you think that a person is going to come and buy that car solely by what? How it looks on the outside. They're going to want to have some what? Experience with it. And what I'm saying to you is that people see us, but they're looking for more than just what you say. They're really looking at the experience that they have with you. And that what they see, what they experience with you tells them a whole lot more about you than what you say. You get it? And I don't want to labor that, but I think you get the point. This is really important because though people don't say it, they want you to bring your letter of recommendation. And God is saying to us, you are it. You are the letter. So lastly then, I want to look at the point that this letter of recommendation is delivered. Now what Paul says then as we move on to verse 3, look at verse 3. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us. You see? So the first time the letter of recommendation was requested, Paul now says this letter has been delivered. Okay? So Christ is the author. He says that you are a letter from Christ. Christ is the one that's sending this letter. That's the reason it reflects back on him. You get it? So Christ is the author. And so I'm talking to Christians, so I know I don't need to convince you of this, but just keep this point in mind. Christ is the author of every Christian's salvation. Right? He's the author of salvation for every Christian. Hebrews 12, 2, you remember it says, after talking about the heroes in chapter 11, remember that, Moses and all the heroes? Then he says that we have this great cloud of witnesses, right? You remember that? Lay aside every weight, the sin that encumbers you and run your race. And then he says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author, right, or the founder and perfecter of our faith. So he's the author. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in what? Christ. When you're in Christ, you are a new creation. So he's the author. You got to be in him to be a new creation. And most of the people in the room know John 3:16. God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only son that whoever believes him. You got to believe in him to have everlasting life, right? So I don't need to do much convincing there, hopefully. If you've never heard that truth about the gospel, embrace it. Christ is the author of salvation for every Christian. And therefore, eternal life begins in Christ alone. No one else can give you eternal life. That's the reason all other religions are false. They're false hope. No other religion can promise you eternal life. You will have eternal existence, but not eternal life. You understand the difference? Eternal life is a quality of life. And for the Christian, eternal life begins when? Right now. He who has the Son has the life. And so our life never ends. Isn't that good? Why? Because it's eternal. It's eternal. Christ secured it for you. Once you place your faith in him, you're in Christ, you have the life. He's a living Savior. He died once, what? Never to die again. Isn't that good? And so, eternal life begins in Christ. Most of you, well, maybe most of you don't know, but my license tag is AC412. And I've had it for years and years and years. And so most people that don't know that will ask me, what does that stand for? And I say, it's a scripture verse. And they says, what does it say? I said, well, you ought to go look it up. Now, that's the purpose. I want you to know what it is. I mean, I want you to know that it's a scripture verse, but I want you to go look it up for yourself. Now, whether you know it or not, but there's salvation in what? No one else. For there's no other name. And heaven given among men by which what? We must be saved. It's him. Eternal life begins with him. You remember how Jesus said it in John 10? My sheep, what? Hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them what? Eternal life. It's come from him. Isn't that good? We're not looking to anyone else to give us eternal life. We've already found the Savior. That's the reason he called what? The Savior. Yes. Saved me from eternal death. He's given me eternal life, and I shall never die. Even when this shell dies, Jesus said what? Even if a man dies, yet shall he what? Live. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now that's the gospel. Isn't that good news? Yeah. Christ creates living letters by the power of the Holy Spirit. You back at verse 3? And you show that you are letters from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. You get it? The Spirit of the living God. It's the Holy Spirit who creates these living letters, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. So Christ is the author, And faithful saints are the ministers or servants. Paul said, I delivered it, right? You are a letter from Christ delivered by us. Faithful saints must take the gospel to those who have not heard. Faithful saints must take the gospel to those who have not believed. That's the reason Paul said, delivered by us. My brother, my sister, you can pray, and I thank God that you pray. But when you've got done praying, the gospel gets to people by you. Yes? Amen. We just saw we are the what? Body of Christ. This isn't some, we're not in a quote mystery religion where it's mystically going to happen. God makes it real clear. You are my body. When the work gets done, you do it. Now, what does God say to us? You do the possible, and he'll do what? The impossible. And so, faithful saints must take this gospel. Because if you're going to be honest, all of us know that even in our day and time, there are many people that have not heard it. But in our own country, there's even more people that have not believed it. The sad part to say is that in many churches, the gospel is not believed. Because in many environments, the gospel is not preached. Now you follow me on this? So what are people being saved? What are they being saved to? That's what you need to be asked. If the gospel is not preached, then what are they being saved to? And not only that, major mega churches will not preach about sin. So if they're not being saved from sin, what are they being saved from? You get the problem? They say they're saved, but you're saved to what? And you're saved from what? That's the reason Paul says you need to be careful that you're not taking a false gospel. He calls it another gospel, right? And it sounds good. It's appealing. But Paul said clearly in Romans 1, we are not ashamed. Of what? There's a definite article before the, before gospel. We're not ashamed of the gospel, right? The. There's only one gospel. It has never changed. It's been the same. Christ is the Savior. He's the Lord. You don't come to Christ and make him your Lord. He is the Lord. Nobody can make Christ Lord. He is the Lord. Yes? You come to him and accept the fact that he is the Lord. Right? But you also come to him and accept the fact that you needed to be saved. Yes. Right? If he's seeking and saving the lost, you accept the fact that I was what? Lost. Now, that sounds easy. It took 28 years for me. But I'm thankful that somebody didn't give up on me. Aren't you? I don't know what your story is. You understand? So, you need to be that. I'm saying that you need to be that person now. You need to be that letter. You've already spoken. Sometimes it may be your own children. You've raised them. They've rejected it. But you got to keep living. They're still reading you. There's no guarantee. And I want to be very clear here. There's no guarantee that because you're a Christian, your children are going to be a Christian. That's not the point. But you still want to be a living letter. You want to live the gospel that you've been teaching them and preaching to them. Because I can tell you this one thing. A young person can determine a fake. They can see right through it. Couldn't you? Yeah, you could. See right through it. We good? So faithful saints, take the gospel. Then delivering this gospel or taking this gospel to those who are lost must be considered as the highest privilege. What do you mean by that, Brother Willie? You got your Bible open? Look at these last two verses and then we'll try to wrap it up. You see verses 4 and 5? After Paul has talked about this wonderful mystery of them being living letters, he says, verse 4, Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Amen. So no one in here needs to say, well, I haven't done this. I haven't been qualified. I haven't studied this thing. I don't know Greek. I don't know. If God has called you and saved you, he is the one that qualifies you. If you know the gospel, you are qualified to take the gospel. If you are truly saved, you can tell somebody how you got saved.
Amen.
Yes? Now, that's the bottom line. If you're not really born again, then you can't tell anybody how to be born again. I mean, you can talk. But you see, if you've been born again, as the blind man said, I don't know all of the theology. All that I know is that I was dead and blind, and now I'm alive and I see.
Amen.
How did it happen, Willie? I believed in Christ. The gospel is not simplistic, but it is simple. Yes? Stop making it complicated. Don't start adding stuff to it. If you believe in Christ and do this, don't add baptism and these things and that thing. And now, those are wonderful things to do in obedience. But you're saved by faith in Christ, what? Alone. That's the gospel. That's the reason we have confidence that the thief that was hanging there beside Christ could be saved in his dying hours. Never got baptized. Never did any of these things we're talking about. What did Jesus say?
Today,
what? You'll be with me in paradise. That's the gospel. Isn't that good news? Now, don't play that game. Don't try to play that game. You're going to play God until, you know, you sold your oaths and had your good time, and you're going to play him right up to the end. That's foolish. If you know the truth, obey it now. You need to be saved now. Yes? And those of us who are need to see the privilege of being living letters for other people. Deliver the gospel. See it as the privilege to deliver the gospel to other people. In the workplace, in our neighborhoods, in recreational events, when you're on vacation. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. When you go on vacation, you know, I'm kind of in the ministry thing. But yes, you are. It's an amazing thing when you go on vacation and somebody locks you up, wants to talk. I was on a plane once and that was, you know, I wanted to rest, wanted to sleep. And here's this man wanting to talk about gambling. What did the Bible have to say about gambling? I'm like, what? But he was honest, you know. So the thing is, you're never on, quote, vacation. You understand what I'm saying? You're always an ambassador. You're always an ambassador for Christ. So you fight until it's over, right? Fight a good fight. Finish your course. Keep the faith. Then it's over, right? All right, to be used by God in bringing someone from spiritual death to spiritual light is the highest honor. Every Christian should say, what? Amen. Yeah, it is. Well, God bless you. You've been patient again. So I want to conclude with these thoughts. My brother, my sister in Christ, we have seen that the Bible clearly declares that all true Christians are letters of recommendation from Christ. All of us, every one of us, is a letter of recommendation from Christ. We are an open book, if you will, right? Our lives are open and visible for everyone to see, for everyone to read. We're not cultic. You see, cults have these secret lives and secret things. Our lives are what? Open. We want people to know the truth. Why? Because knowing the truth will what? Set you free. We don't have some secret religion. Christ didn't die in secret. He died what? Openly.
Amen.
And trust me, when he comes back, it won't be a secret. Every eye will see him. He'll break through the clouds. That regal voice will ring out. The trumpet of God will sound. He's coming. Every graveyard's going to be emptied. What is a saint? People that have died at sea or burned in the fire. Folks don't know where they are, but God does. Everyone that loves Christ will be caught up, given a new body, because the King's coming. My Savior's coming. The Lord is coming. Isn't that good? To look forward to that day.
Hallelujah.
Well, the Bible says if you do, then those who have this hope purifies themselves. See? You should want other people to go with you. I've got some awful situations with my natural relative just like you do. But I don't want them to go to hell, do you? I mean, just because somebody's treated you bad and dirty and stabbed you in the back and taken money from you, whatever the case may be, who are you to deprive them of the gospel?
Amen.
Folks that we don't like to interact with, who are you to decide? You right? We're servants. Right? We go where we're told. That's what, you know what a servant does? We go where we're told. Okay, I got sidetracked there a little bit. So you kind of see that point? Our lives, if you will, are living resumes. Amen? Our lives are living letters of recommendation. Our lives are living testimonies being updated daily. Yes, my brother, my sister. If you are a Christian, you should be growing and changing daily. Not changing negatively, but you should be growing. Sanctification is a what? Process. Should be happening. Revise, enhance, and develop. For this reason, we must be humble because we are growing, because we are changing. We should be sensitive to the Word of God and stop being so arrogant. If God tells you something from somebody you consider to be, quote, beneath you, you better hear it.
Amen.
Right? We humble ourselves because I want to learn, I want to grow, I want to change. Sensitive to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, teachable, repentant, and ready for godly change. Christians with changed lives are a great testimony for the power and glory of God in our world. This world needs to see what it really means to be saved. To find real joy, even if you don't have an automobile. To have joy in the Lord when you got fired from your job. To have joy in the Lord when you don't have a 401k. Or whatever the case may be. I've just gotten the worst medical news. But oh, I've got the joy of the Lord. Because to live, I already know what it means to live. What is it? Christ. He's the meaning of life. He's the meaning. Christian, this world needs people to show them what it means to live. This world doesn't know what it means to live. They think J-Lo knows what it means to live and Jay-Z and I'm not being critical. But see, what the world does is it paints these pictures for people to think. This is what you need to aspire to. God says, I sent you as what? Salt and light. Shine so people can see. What does it say? Let your light what? Shine before people in such a way that they what? See your good works and glorify you. That's what people need to see. Well, where do you work, man? Where do you work? You probably ain't even heard of the place. See, I'm not defined by where I work. Where do you live? Well, that's really kind of irrelevant. You see the point? This world wants us to be defined by what you have, what you've accomplished, these things. God says, I want you to be defined by who you are. And so that's my issue. You need to know who you are. It's a tragic thing for somebody to ask a Christian who you are, and all you can do is tell them about where you went to school and where you live, and you see what I'm saying? We're letting our lives be, you're letting who you are being defined like that's the way the world defines who you are. I don't know if you're getting this. This is really an important question. Every one of us needs to know who you are because this world is confused.
They look at Christians today, and they really think Christians are those who want big houses and jets and this and that and whatever. And God is not against wealth. You know that I'm not saying that. But our lives cannot be defined by that, by what a person possesses. As a matter of fact, when your life is defined that way, Bible calls you a fool. Right? It's a fool that thinks that your life is defined by only what you can possess. All right. Christians with changed lives are a great testimony. Letters of recommendation for the effectiveness of the gospel ministry. Therefore, live for Christ daily. That's Philippians 1, 21. I mentioned that already, I think. For me to what? Live is Christ, to die is gain. Be salt, light, bear fruit, live holy, and work together with other believers in love. Be a faithful minister of the gospel and take the gospel to those who are lost. Take the gospel to those who are stubborn. The gospel to those who are rebellious. Take the gospel to those who are irreverent. Take the gospel to the atheist. Take the gospel to the agnostic. Take the gospel to the CEO of the company. Take the gospel to your supervisor. Take the gospel to your neighbor that won't speak to you. Take the gospel to the one person at school who thinks they bully everybody. Take the gospel to the person at school who thinks they're smarter than everybody. Take the gospel. Take it to them because they need it. They need a letter that they can read.
Yes.
And you are it. So that you too can be in the lives of Christians that are living letters for the Lord. Letters of recommendation for the gospel role that you played in their lives. If you've ever been involved in someone coming to Christ, it is so tremendous. So tremendous. To actually see God save someone while you're sitting there. It's way more than somebody simply saying a sinner's prayer. I'm talking about to see somebody actually saved. It's nothing like it. Other than your own salvation is, you know what I mean. But to see God do it for someone, isn't that what should motivate us? My brother, my sister, you are a living letter from Christ. And he wants you to have other Christians that are living letters from Christ to be read by all. If you're not a Christian, I just plead with you. Won't you come? You could come to him. You'll find that in Christ, he'll make you an open letter. You don't have to hide anymore. Once you come to Christ, you realize, just like every other person in here, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all done, oh, my friend, if you only knew the ugly stuff in some of our lives. But once you come to Christ, the Bible declares you as what? Clean. Ooh, there's nothing like it. To know that your sins are forgiven. And all you have to do is to come to him in faith. Would you believe in him? Would you trust him? Lord, I thank you for these few minutes that we spent together. And would you take these feeble words of mine and apply them to the hearts of these listeners? And would you finish the work that you started? Would you finish the work that you had planned for today? And we'll be so, so careful to give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, God bless you, and...